Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key.
WGUF, welcome. We are so glad you are with us on this call. Don't know if it's Saturday, Sunday. Don't know if it's day or midnight, but God is with us all. Let's look to the Lord. Look to the hills from which comes our help. This is the day the Lord has made. Yes, indeed. And I am so delighted that the very next voice you will hear after Benny Cummings' song will be that of Pastor Patricia Benman, God's divine woman on divine assignment.
Come on!
Good morning, Pastor Benman. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott. Wondering if you are in communication. Is your line working?
Is my line working?
Pastor Benman, your line is open. And
hello.
It's your time. Please speak, Pastor Benman.
But here she is, sparring on the very point of whether or not, you know, idea of running away.
Pastor Benman, could you turn off your background music sound, please?
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Benman.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, ma'am, the line is yours.
Good morning. I would appreciate it to if we would tell the Lord thank you. Can you tell the Lord thank you this morning, Dr. Scott?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Lord. I began thanking for the He's the Lord. It's a heaven. It's a blessing. And the goodness flow from God through Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I tell you, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows about our struggles, and He will guide us until the day is done. They're not afraid like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I tell you, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Not one. No, not one. No night so dark that He is not near us. No, not one. Hallelujah to God. Jesus knows all about our struggles, and He will guide us until the day is done. Oh, my God. There is not a friend today like Jesus. The songwriter said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear? Jesus knows. He knows all about it every week. So let's just take everything. Let's take the White House to God in prayer. Let's take the shutdown and the rising up from the shutdown. Let's take it to God in prayer. Ah, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, my God, in heaven today, it is a beautiful day here in the lovely Long Island of the New York. And the sun is shining bright. I mean, it's so beautiful. It's deceiving. The sun is so beautiful out, shining. It seems as though it could be about 75 degrees as you look out of the window, but don't open the door. The temperature is 24. Maybe it went up a little bit since I first looked to see what the temperature is. But what I'm saying is that the sunshine, isn't it amazing how, as cold as it is, my mom's house get in the front of her house, she gets a lot of sunlight when the sun is shining. And even though it's so very cold outside, if you are anywhere near the windows or sitting in the living room and the sun is shining in, you will actually feel the warmth, as cold as it is outside, from the sun. We can shut the heat down when the sun is shining, and the front part of the house from my bedroom on to the living room is warm from the sun, as cold as it is. That's an amazing God that we serve. Saying, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. He's working these songs in me this morning. He's bringing them up that I have housed down on the inside. What a mighty God. Jesus is the God we serve. Angels bowing before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, I'm so happy in Christ today. That's another song. Well, it had, the temperature has gone up. The time is 10:09, but when I looked this morning, about 5:30, mostly clear tonight, 26. But right now, they're claiming that it's going to hit the 40s, somewhere around 45 degrees. I know someone listened and said, why am I getting a news report when you should be speaking about the Word of God? Well, the reason why I'm giving you a weather report is because I'm making a point about when the sun is shining, you can get warmth in the winter time. When the sun is shining, if you would put yourself where the sun is. That's a profound statement. If you will get in the way where the sun is shining, I'm sure right now as I'm looking out the window and I see the sun shining on the car, I am sure if I was sitting in the back of the car, not in the front, the sun is not in the front of the car, the windshield, no, it's not there. But if you could see what I'm looking at, in the back window, the sun has been shining on the entire back of the car. And if I was sitting back there, I would feel the warmth of the sun even in winter time. So I'm saying all of that to let you know that the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, when he's in your life, no matter how cold it may be, the circumstances that you're dealing with may be a bitter bone chill to your personal feelings and your situation is dark, but because the Son is in your life. I'm talking now, I've moved from the S-U-N, son, to the S-O-N, son. Isn't that amazing how they both say son? Ah, the son of light. Ah, the son of the true and living God and the sun that shineth and doeth the earth some good. Oh, my God. I'm seeing bitter cold temperatures here on Long Island out in the Hamptons. I've seen it very, very cold. Oh, just like just on the other side of last Monday, it was 7 degrees here in Southampton, New York. But it said that the wind chill made it feel like it was minus 15. I received a phone call telling me, don't you go out there, girl. It is not safe for you to go out that door. So I took heed. The word to the wise is sufficient. I have enough warm clothes to go out in that kind of weather. I know how to dress properly in layers. You put on layers of clothing to protect yourself. But I received the word, said, don't go out today. So I said, well, God, for whatever reason that word came, I will take heed to the word and I'll stay indoors. And I did just that. God sends us words from time to time. It doesn't matter who it comes from. Just hear what the word is saying and take heed to it and follow the instructions. And that's what I did. But you know what? It was so cold outside. The sun melted the ice that was on my car. So I'm trying to tell you that if the natural sun can melt frozen situations, frozen things, if the natural sun, being that the natural sun is capable of melting frozen ice on a car or frozen ice on the ground because we had so much rain, and then it got so cold that night till all of the water froze. Being that the sun was able to melt things down to, oh my God, then that was just the natural sun shining from the sky. Can you imagine that you've got a frozen circumstance, a frozen situation in your life? It seems like it is locked down, frozen, hard, stiff, unmovable. But you have the sun, S-O-N, in your midst, in your life. And you can take that frozen situation and give it to the Lord. Someone said, the problem that I had, I just couldn't seem to solve it. And I prayed and I prayed, but when I gave it over to the Lord, he worked it out. Well, the Lord is that sun, that S-O-N that I'm speaking about. That S-O-N, Jesus, the Son of the true and living God. The S-O-N will take frozen situations, frozen circumstances, frozen to the impossibility of that. You don't know how and when it will dissolve and when it will be fixed, but once you give it to the Son, or once the Son, Jesus, takes over for you, oh, he'll fix it. That's why he started out with the song, "There's Not a Friend Like the Lowly Jesus." No, 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 not one, no one, no one, no one is like the lowly Jesus. And then what a friend we have in Jesus. He is the best son you can ever have an encounter with. The Son of the living God is greater. Is he that is in you? You have someone on the inside of you. That's if you have accepted him fully as your Lord and Savior. Your Savior. It didn't freeze to death. There's a freeze that comes with a house that if there isn't enough heat in the house, that the pipe will freeze and it bursts. It explodes. And that puts a problem in your house. But the Son, Jesus Christ, was so mindful to this elderly couple that the man is about 74 and his wife is 70, I believe. And they awakened on last Monday. Their heater had quit. And it was a bone chilling in their house. But the Son who loves us, Jesus Christ, he didn't allow their pipes to even bust. They woke up in a cold house. So somewhere in the middle of the night, the heat shut off. The furnace stopped producing heat, but God protected the pipes. That could have been a major job. It could have been a catastrophe where the pipes had burst and water is everywhere, and that's a big financial job. Could have been where the older couple would have had to leave their house, and then a new furnace would have to be purchased, and pipes would have to be purchased. And it may even, I've seen where when the pipes bursted, people had to have new floors put in because of the water damage. But God was mindful. The S-O-N, Son, kept everything in place. They just encountered being cold, and when the wife called their son and said, "We have no heat here," that he said, "Oh my God, Mom, it's cold. I'm coming." And the son brought over a couple of heaters until the repairman could get there. I'm talking about what the son, Jesus, can do in the midst of your adversities, in the midst of the storms in your life. Jesus is there to see us through. I love the Lord today. I'm almost finished on this fourth Sunday of January. I thank God for being in the sun. I'm covered. I'm in both suns. I'm in the S-U-N and I'm in the S-O-N. So there's no time for anything freezing on my watch. Mm-mm. I'm not even going to wax cold on my watch because I have the sun making a difference in my life. Oh, what a wonderful change have been wrought since Jesus. I'm talking about the sun now, the S-O-N, has come into my heart. Floods of joy, oh my soul, like sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. Can you say that today? Since Jesus came into, I'm covered with the sun. Even if the natural sun hasn't shown up in my area, I still have the sun on the inside of me who is making the crooked places straight. He's an awesome God. He's a wonderful God. I said on Thursday, we serve a great, big, wonderful God. And I just love the Lord on this morning. Again, I say the sun is shining bright where I am. It's beautiful. It's Mr. Rogers, I can't help but pick up the words of Mr. Rogers. You know, Mr. Rogers was on television and he had the children's show, and he'd always open up the show by saying, "It's a lovely day in the neighborhood." It would be raining when he'd come on, and he'd say, "It's a lovely day in the neighborhood." It could be snowing, ice, and sleet, and hail, and all of that, and he would still open his program with, "It's a lovely day in the neighborhood." I wish we would bring Mr. Rogers back into our hearts, into our lives, to say, no matter what the problem is, it's still a lovely day in the neighborhood. Make yourself the neighborhood. Make yourself, that's what I do. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, meaning that it's a lovely day in my life. It's a lovely day in my heart. Yes, the howling winds are blowing, but it's still a lovely day in the neighborhood. That's why David said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad." Find something in today. And today is today, tomorrow, yesterday, whatever you want to, however way you want to put it. But find something in this day. That's the zipper on my Bible. Find something in this day that will have you to say, "It's a lovely day in the neighborhood." Ah, God is worthy to be praised. Isn't that right? Don't you think so? That he's worthy to be praised because it's a lovely day in my life. It's a lovely day in my heart. I thank God for Jesus today in my heart, and because I have him, it's a lovely day. Well, somebody said, how can you say it's a lovely day when you have no shoes on your feet and no food to eat? But it's a lovely day because Jesus is alive and he lives and he knows how much we can bear and he knows how far we can go before we shipwreck. But as long as I let the devil know that shoot your best shot, it's still a lovely day. In the neighborhood, I dealt with a situation in December with my mother that I had not dealt with before, and I watched how she was walking, and I described it so that people could understand what I saw. When she walked, she was walking as if she was a horse. She has dementia, and I guess the brain was telling her that she had to pick her knee up and then flop her foot down to make her steps. And I prayed and I cried and I said, God, don't leave her this way. You have to fix this for me. Not so much for her, but for me, because she was not aware of it, but I was. And it was hurting me to see her like that. And I talked to my S-O-N, son. I didn't talk to the S-U-N, son. But I talked to the S-O-N, son. And I said, Jesus, I need you to fix this. Fix it, Lord. And on yesterday, I said, God, I'm on my way to the care center where she is for rehabilitation. And I said, God, I'm going to stay until the physical therapist comes to get her for therapy. And I'm going with him because I need to see my mother walk normal. I'm talking about the S-O-N, son, now. And I watched my mother walk normal. She made steps of a human and not the steps of a horse. And when I called my brother on yesterday afternoon and I explained to him what went on, and I said, Michael, Mama walked normal. I didn't like the fact that she was walking with a walker, but God had her walking normal. And I spoke those words to my brother, and he began to bless God in tongues. And he said, God, thank you for the answered prayer. See, I wasn't praying by myself. My brother didn't tell me I'm praying for Mama. I just told him what we were facing with her. So he went to God in prayer on his own about his mother. We call that in church that we bombarded heaven, because he told us that we could come boldly to the throne, and he told us that we could ask what we will, and we did that. My brother was praying in Queens, God, my mother needs your help. I'm praying here in Southampton. God, fix it. Do something, Jesus. And then I went farther than that. I said, God, don't leave her this way. I said, you know how much it disturbs me to even leave her in a facility. I'm so attached to taking care of my mother till everyone has been telling me, get some rest, get some rest. But my mind has not rested because I she's not in the house. Has not rested. And I don't know if they're going to find her on the floor. I don't know if she hit her head again. I don't know. All I know is that I put her in God's hand. And he's where I cannot be 24/7. 365 days a year. He never sleeps nor slumbers. And I said, God, if you're not going to fix it like it ought to be, I said, God, if you are the creator, you made us. The doctor can say the brain is not functioning properly, the brain is shrinking, and the brain has gone in an opposite direction. Yes, maybe it has, but the brain person who put the brain in your skull in the first place, he is the one, he put that brain in your head, he is the one that can do a surgery on your brain and never crack the skin. Because his surgery comes by word of mouth. He can just speak the word, and the brain will obey him. All he has to do is say, brain, come back into your natural self, and she will go back to being like she was many years ago. But I put an if not in there. I said, but God, if not, if you don't speak the word to restore her mind, then I asked you to take her home where I know that there is no sickness. There is no sorrow. There is no heartache. In heaven, you won't need PT. In heaven, you are a new creature. You're a new being. You're no longer in your mortal body. You are in the spirit with God forever and ever and ever. Death cannot come to heaven. Death can only hit you on the earth. But death, hell, sickness, all that, none of that is welcome. None of that is welcome. So I'm willing, God, for you to heal my mother in life or heal her through death. And the scripture said that if you are a part of him and you are saved and you have the blood of Jesus on the inside of you and you've been living a holy and separated life from sin, it said that it may look to the world and to the people that's looking on that body that was borrowed to come down here to earth that they're sleeping. The dead in Christ sleep. The dead and the devil are dead, doom, gloom, finish. But she will rise in the first resurrection. So why are you saying she'll rise and she's still living? Well, if the Lord should take her, I have a hope that she will rise in the first trump, that sound. The dead in Christ will rise in the first trump. Ah, God, I thank you. Oh, I don't know how we got here, but the sun on the outside is still shining beautifully. The car won't need to warm as long when I go out to go over to the care center to see her today. I won't have to dress as warm. I won't need all the 2 and 3 pairs of something on. I can travel light. 40 is not a heat wave, but I tell you what, 40 is a whole lot warmer than 17 and 24. Dr. Scott, I need you to play me a song. Matter of fact, I need to hear something nice, something soft. Because that's where I am right now. Mm-hmm. That's where I am right now. Amen, for I know that the Lord is real. Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. That's a statement that's very personal. He is saying Jesus is real. He's not fake. We don't serve a idol, a fake God. We serve a true and living God. Jesus is real. He says, I know the Lord is real to me. And then he says, I'm telling the truth. In other words, just in case you had any doubt in your mind that I don't know what I'm talking about, he is real. I'm telling the truth. The Lord is real. He said, I tried him. I tried him and I found out that the Lord is real. It's not a, he's not a myth or a fairy tale. He's real. Jesus is real. Why don't you give him a try? When frozen comes into your life, when zero temperatures are in your life, that you feel as if you're blocked from getting through that storm, why don't you try him? Why don't you sit down and talk about this Jesus? Why don't you sit down and talk to this Jesus? You know how it is when somebody praises you for something you do. I know some people like that. Whatever they do, you have to pat them on the back for it, or else they kind of like lose it. So then why, Jesus, why don't you tell him thank you for the sun, S-U-N, that shining? Because the scripture let us know in the Old Testament that a day is coming when the sun will no longer shine. Oh, it's shining here today in New York, but it may not be shining in Buffalo, New York. But the sun is still shining. The day hasn't come yet where the sun isn't shining. So we have rain here, and it's a gloomy day. The sun's not out, but it's not out here. But the sun is shining somewhere else. Well, that's how it goes. But we need to give thanks for the sun, S-U-N, that shining, that you can see shining today, because the scripture lets us know. So that's no big deal, sun and all that. Yes, it is, because the scripture lets us know in the Old Testament. Google it, you'll find it, that the sun is not going to shine one of these days, and that is all over the entire universe. God's going to shut it down. And it said the moon is going to drip away to blood. I know last week some of you all was excited about watching the blood moon. I heard him talking about the blood moon, the blood moon, the blood moon, the blood moon. The Bible said that the moon one day is going to drip away to blood. It's not the moon will, it calls her, the moon will not give her light. She will drip away to blood. So you all that was looking at the blood moon, the guy was asking me about the blood moon, and I said I went to sleep because I was resting in the S-O-N. It didn't matter to me about folks watching the blood moon. I'm in the blood of Jesus Christ. So if the moon had dripped away the blood on that night, I was anchored. My soul is anchored. Hey, God, thank you. Yeah. The songs say, oh, God, you're just pulling up these songs in my spirit today, and he's ministering to me in these songs, and I'm giving them to you so that they will minister to you. But the song said, though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, but still the hope that lies within me reassures as I keep my eyes upon it. This is sure. I know he'll lead me safely to the blessed place that he has prepared. But if the storms don't cease and the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul is anchored in the Lord. Yes, my soul is anchored in the Lord. It had not God fixed the walk that my mother had back to a normal walk, a natural walk of a human being, that storm was blowing in my life, but I went to the S-O-N for help. Realizing that my brother was bombarding heaven at the same time with the same, not complaint, but it was a request, because God never told us to complain unto him. That's why the songwriter said, I won't complain. But God didn't tell us to complain to him. I might complain to you and you, you, and you. But when it comes to me going to God, it shouldn't be a complaint. It should be a request. As it said, make your request known unto God. Make your request. And I made my request known, and I said, Lord, I need to see this with my own eyes. And I watched her walking again, normal. And I stood there with tears in my eyes, and I said, God, I thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. I'm thanking you for what you've done on this day, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for me. Thank you. Yes, there's still some chilly winds blowing in her direction and in mind, but because I am talking to the S-O-N, I believe that soon and very soon and very soon. I know Mahalia Jackson made a song once that said, soon. I used to sing that. That's when I was younger. I don't have that voice anymore. Soon I will be done with the troubles of this world. I'm going home to live with God. And when your loved one has the S-O-N in their life, if they go home to live with God, you will miss them, but you will also rejoice, because the suffering is over. Oh, my God, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, God, for both the Son, because you giveth us both. One we get by choice. The other we don't have any choice. You don't have any choice about the S-U-N, whether it shines in your window or not. You don't have any choice concerning that S-U-N. But the S-O-N, Son, is your choice. Because the word tells us to choose ye this day whom you will serve. And I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I will not go and worship or serve the devil with the tactics of the things that the devil used for you to be one in his band. But I will walk in the pathways of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the S-O-N also shines on the inside. It gives you a light. And you're to let it shine. Matthew's gospel says that we are a city that sitteth upon a hill. A light cannot be hidden. When your life is in Christ, your light should shine always before men. Should not be unruly. You should not be like the devil with the light of Christ in you. Wow. You know, I never come on the air without giving you a scripture from the Holy Bible, because I can preach without opening the Bible because there's so much scripture on the inside of me. I can just pull up this, pull up that, and connect it all together. But for those of you that's in radio land, I always like to open my Bible. And I really was not prepared for this service on today. I knew that we were on the fourth Sunday, and Dr. Scott told me that he had everything ready to go at 10, and just by happen, I said, oh, I've got to go on the air. But I was going on to listen to my sermon that I preached on Thursday. That's what I play. That's why I was not prepared to speak once Benny Cummings stopped singing. I said, well, okay, I was waiting for me to start talking. And then I heard Dr. Scott say, you know, Pastor Ben, what? You got to be kidding. I didn't hear him say all of that on Thursday. Is something wrong with the tape? And then I realized that he said, could you turn the background noise down? And I'm saying, he's got to be really speaking to me today. He didn't say all of that Thursday because I had no background noise. That's why my television was playing with AM Joy, and I'm in the kitchen trying to make me a pie crust for my lemon meringue pie when I come back from visiting with my mom. But let's go to Isaiah's gospel, and I'll be finished when I finish with this. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arms of the Lord been revealed? Oh, God, I love you. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has not formed or condemned. And when we see him, oh my goodness, let me look back at this word again. Let me adjust my glasses. Have not formed of comeliness. Thank you, Jesus, for the correction. Comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, for he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. See what I'm talking about? He has borne our griefs. It grieves your heart when you see someone that you love so very much, and they are sick and in a way that all you can do is just pray and hope and trust that God will hear your cry and fix it. For you to sit there and hold a conversation with, or try to hold a conversation with someone who has dementia, dementive, senile, you're talking with them and they're talking to you about something that makes sense to them, but to you it's like saying, oh God, please. It can be very depressing, but when you have the Son, Jesus Christ, the S-O-N Son, you hold back your tears in their face. And on your way out of the door from leaving them, you'll say, Lord, you know how much we can bear. He's acquainted with our griefs. He knows that the heart is heavy. He knows that the heart aches when we see our precious loved ones, our friends, in this situation. Some of you have experienced what I'm talking about, and your parents are gone on from that same condition. And yet, I believe God. Let me read that third verse again. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He knows what grief is like. He knows your pain. He knows what you're going through. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. See, the word griefs is there again. I read the one in the third verse again. And now down here in verse number 4, the word griefs comes up again. Surely he has borne our... See, in the third verse, it was letting us know that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. So he was acquainted. He got to know grief. This is how God is giving it to me. He, and maybe some great theologian can break it down in another way, but this is the way I'm going with this. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But in the fourth verse, it says to us that he bore our... Is that what it said? Well, let me read it again. I'm not going to read the third one again. I'm going to go right back here to the fourth one, because listen, you need to know this today. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. I'm talking about the S-O-N. My God, today. See, when you are full of the Word of God, yes, there are study times that you go and study. But once you are impregnated with the Word of God and you are fine-tuned and connected to the true and living God, the Son, S-O-N, Son, if they call on you at the last minute. I've known some folk that get up and say, well, I haven't studied anything, and you caught me unaware, and, oh, well, Dr. Scott took me by surprise this morning. He took me by surprise, but because I am connected to the Son, I got a word in midnight. I can give you the Word of God anytime. It may not be what you want to hear, but I can give you the Word. And then I said, well, God, now where am I going from here? Where am I going from here? Usually I'll have a scripture or something that I will tie in my conversation and connect it with that. But I said, God, where am I going from here? So I opened my Bible. You heard me zipping my Bible, opened the case. And I said, Lord, where am I going? So I turned to Galatians and I said, no. I even went in Zephaniah and Zechariah, whatever. And as I said, no, God, that's not what I need for what I'm talking about. So he said, now go to Isaiah. When I went to Isaiah, opened my Bible, and there was 54 sitting there. I said, no, what I need is in 53. Oh, bless his name. Because I'm talking about the friend that we have in Jesus. I'm talking about a Jesus that will not leave you or forsake you. I'm talking about the one that no night so dark that he cannot hear us. There is a night in my life right now concerning the welfare of my mother. But he heard my cry. And he heard my brother's cry. And God only knows who else might have prayed that's connected to me and could feel what I'm dealing with. No night so dark that he cannot hear you. So cry out to God, who can fix all things and fix it well. He said it adds the joy of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord maketh one rich and addeth no sorrow. Well, most people think when you say the word rich, you think dollars. But honey, I'd rather be rich in his mercy. I'd rather be rich in happiness. I'd rather have joy. I'd rather have Jesus more than silver and gold. Rather have Jesus more than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus more than anything. I'm talking from the spiritual point in my life. I'd rather, God, I thank you for your touch. I'd rather have Jesus more than houses and land. I'd rather have Jesus more than anything. What did verse 3 said? He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He became familiar with sorrow. And then he got acquainted with grief in that third verse of chapter 53. Read it for yourself. But this is the revelation that he has given to me. Verse 4 lets us know, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. My God, today he picked it up. He bore it. He became a part of it for real, for real. My niece said, for real? Yeah, for real. In other words, it's for real. That's what the young people said. For real? Yes, for real. He became acquainted with it. He got so acquainted with it till he took it on himself. Said, I'll handle this. I'll carry this. I'll be there in your frozen time that you feel the bitter cold working against you. I'll be your son on the inside, working on the outside. I'll carry it for you. Hey, I got this. I'll carry it for you. Because I've already been there where you are. Already been there and done that for you. Before you got here, I already been there, done that. I knew this day was coming. But I and the Lord your God. I'm carrying it for you. Are you feeling it? Yes, you are. But I got this. Weeping may endure for the night, but your joy is coming. in the morning. The problem with you is that you don't know when morning or what morning. But I tell you, I carried this already. I carried it already. I carried it already. Just hold on. A change is coming. People in Radio Land, he has borne and carried our griefs. Let me get my composure here. I don't need no composure, Shucks. I'm in the Word of God. I'm excited about what the Lord does and how he can do. And he can take that little sorrow that you're feeling. He can just speak one word. And it's finished. Let me hurry up. I'm not sure if I'm over my time or not. I didn't start on time because I was baffled that he was really talking to me. But it's all good. I got it together. Oh, my God. He carried our sorrows. He said, our sorrows. Yet deemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace, my peace, was upon him. My peace is in him. He said, my peace I give. Not as the world give, but my peace I give to you. If you have my peace, you'll have the best peace in the world. When the wind is blowing and when it's frozen in your life and you feel like your feet is stuck to the concrete or to the pavement, you feel like your feet is stuck, they're frozen hard, and you can't move, but I can give you my peace. Woman, sing this song. You are my peace, and I worship you. I think Juanita Bynum came out with that. You are my peace, and I worship you. Yes, he's my peace because he says, I'll give you, well, the chastisement of our, I made it personal, my, you know, but our, that included those of us who come to him and that really have the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. Now, come on here. It's a difference. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. My spirit man received a healing on yesterday when I saw what God had done. When she walked normal, even though she was walking with a walker, but she was walking normal. I told God, thank you. I told the Lord, because I couldn't talk about it with my brother. I didn't want him to hear the sadness in my voice and feel the pressure from me because it's his mother too and he loves her as much as I do. So I stayed away from talking to him until I had gotten peace, until I saw with my own eyes what God had done. And he was feeling the same way. My sister has enough on her because she is the sole caregiver for going into 12 years over our mother. And she has enough that she's dealing with. So I'm not going to burden her with how I feel. So we both did what mom taught us to do. Go to God. He can fix it. Jesus can work it out if you let him. as I was saying earlier, the song said the problem that I had, I couldn't seem to solve. I prayed, but I gave it over to the Lord, and He worked it out. If you all can see me, I am Dr. Scott. I am walking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I heard a bishop, a lady where I had preached at her church, and she said, look out. It's all right when she's standing still, said, but when she began to walk back and forth, the anointing of God is just moving. She said, like the water on a river, it's just moving. And the anointing of God is just flowing right now. And I ask God to let this anointing go into the radio station, that whoever may pull up this message or blog talk radio through their computer or their iPhone or however way they have access to the internet, I pray that they feel this anointing and that it will help them. And especially for someone who depends on the S-U-N and not the S-O-N, I want them to know that this same Jesus is alive and well, and He cares about us. Stripes, with His stripes, we are healed. I'm going to finish in a few minutes, Dr. Scott. Just give me a little more time. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. See, I turned to my own way by getting upset and feeling like, God, don't you care? Don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you see what's happening with a woman who loved you, served you in the community, served you in the church, and served you in her house? My mother wasn't just saved on Sunday. She wasn't just saved when she got to the church like some of us are. But this woman walked daily before the Lord. And I'm saying, God, come on and do something. I turned to my own way. I gave God a complaint. Dr. Scott, we better remember that. You better write that down. I gave God a complaint. That's one of my sermons that I'm going to work on. I gave God a complaint. That's what He told me. You gave me a complaint and not a request. Oh, my God. Woo! That's bad. I hope none of these preachers don't listen to this, because they'll steal that. That's why I'm careful what I say, because God gives me revelation from on high, and some of this stuff they've never heard before. But Dr. Scott, please write that down. I wish Vanessa was listening, because she tries to write down everything I say, and then when I need it, she'll go back and say, you said it on such and such a day, and this is how you said it, and she writes it down. But I don't believe she's listening this morning. But Dr. Scott, can you get to a pen and write that down about the complaint and the other word? I'll have to do that on a live setting. Wow. When you turn to your own way, turn to your own way, it takes longer. When the children of Israel turned to their own way and not God's way, it took longer. Although, now, don't misunderstand me, although it was wrong what they did, but guess what? They were still blessed in the wilderness, because God didn't leave them destitute or desperate. God gave them manna. They had something to eat every day. And in my Bible, it lets me know, when you read that story about the children, is that their clothes didn't even get old. I guess they didn't get dirty either, because I don't recall anybody taking clothes off washing them. So I guess they had no body odor. The clothes wasn't sweaty, musty, dirty, funky, as we say. Didn't need no Tide, T-I-D-E. Didn't need no oil, didn't need no bounce to freshen it up. didn't know what's this new one they got on the market that you can just spray on something and it's supposed to have a clean, fresh, what it called? Febreze or something like that. Didn't need no Febreze. Didn't need no Lysol spray to kill 99% of the virus causing germs. Didn't need any of that. God was mindful and merciful to them in the wilderness while they were murmuring and complaining. They were murmuring and complaining. They weren't making their request. Lord, get us out of here. Safe. If they had just done that, they probably would not have stayed there that long. But God allowed it because he needed it to be there for me. Because there was, even in all of that complaining, there was a miracle at the Red Sea for the children of Israel. Oh, that's a whole nother sermon. Ah, thank you, Jesus. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus was innocent and he had to get the iniquity of you and I. Don't seem fair, but he became acquainted with it. And then he carried it. So that when I came back to him, he said, I know about it. I've already been there for you. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yes, yet he opened not his mouth. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Let me read that. But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, not was any deceit, nor was any, Lucy said, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was put in him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servants shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. Oh, look at God. That's what happens when he's working things out. We have to keep our mouth shut and go through this unpleasantness. And after we've gone through it, then our portion will be great. Thank you, Lord. I'm just about done. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy and sacred word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in his sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, if there was ever a woman who demonstrated the power of the Lord, a person, not just a woman, a person who's locked and loaded always, Pastor Benjamin, I apologize for the surprise, but I'm happy that you came right on through and began to it. You got us through it. Wonderful sermon. We have a friend. In Jesus, amen. So we're going to end right now with a song that I know you all have heard and loved. And I think it's one that Pastor Benjamin's sister particularly loves once. I think she requested it. Just have to get it up on the screen. It's taking a little while. Here we go. Yes, I need a little more Jesus. Matter of fact, I need a whole lot more of Jesus. And I'm sure there are many of you that feel exactly the same way. Be filled with the light and love of God. Let that beautiful anointed message of Pastor Benjamin just flood you, not only today, but all week for sure, because we should be hearing her again this coming Thursday. Just a little more Jesus. You're listening to WGUM. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott, your genial host.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.